What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, and I'm joined, as always, with my co-host, David Drogemeyer. And, of course, it's Wednesday, so it's Crossover Wednesday. But first, we're two writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog. And this is our fourth season covering the Chargers, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly. This is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, so today it's Wednesday, so Crossover Wednesday, and we're going to be talking with someone who we've talked to many times, and it's our boy Q over there with Locked On Raiders. We always have a good conversation with Q, and David Drogemeyer joins him today to talk about a Raiders team who has been a pleasant surprise going up against a Chargers team who's coming off their biggest win of the season against the Green Bay Packers. So David was actually able to join Q in studio in Texas because they both live in Texas and cover West Coast teams. But how cool for you guys to be able to go do that. I'm excited for you guys to hear it. So today's show, we'll be talking with Q about the crossover, but first we're going to start again with the rumors about the Chargers moving to London. So we told you guys yesterday that there was a report that said the NFL was looking into it. Today, Dean Spanos responded, and you're going to want to hear what he had to say. But let's go ahead and get into it. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer. On Monday, a report by Vincent Bonsignor of The Athletic said that the NFL is looking into potentially moving the Los Angeles Chargers to London as the first European NFL team. And there were very legitimate sources behind that information, but Dean Spanos and the NFL responded on Tuesday when Dean Spanos angrily said, "It's total effing BS." Of course, I'm paraphrasing here. He also went on to say, "We're not going to London. We're not going anywhere. We're playing in Los Angeles. This is our home, and this is where we are planning to be for a long effing time period." So Dean Spanos does not want to go to London, it looks like, David, and he is vehemently denying the reports that there is any truth to the Chargers potentially moving to London, which, you know, is probably exactly what he would have to say. But the NFL also came out with a statement about the Chargers' potential move to London, saying that the Chargers' focus right now is only on Los Angeles. And let's be honest, David, the Chargers have to say that. The NFL has to say that. You cannot tell a fan base who you're trying to recruit and grow that you're already planning on moving not just 100 miles away, but over 1,000 miles away. That's a really tough sell for a fan base that is already in transition. And Dean Spanos came out yesterday and had a fiery attack for anyone thinking the Chargers might move.
You're absolutely right, Daniel. He had a crazy response. And yeah, you said that they had to put a statement out there. The NFL had to put a statement out there. But you can't fake that fire and that passion that was in that response. He seemed very taken aback by this story. He was not supporting it or putting any credence to it whatsoever. It is, you know, a bit of a pipe dream, I think. I just don't think that they have, you know, everything ready to move an NFL franchise over to London. There's too many things in the way. Although, if there was a team that could potentially be moved to London, it would be one of the more vulnerable teams, a team that is, you know, doesn't have a huge fan base. And, you know, London has a fan base that's ready and ready to accept an NFL franchise. But I just don't think it's the Chargers. And if you ask Dean Spanos, he clearly does not think it's going to be the Chargers. They expect to be in LA forever. But wow, I mean, still a crazy story.
It is a crazy story that we're even having this conversation after the Chargers relocated from San Diego to Los Angeles after the 2016 season and what that did to the remaining fans in San Diego and the lack of fans that we've seen show support for the Chargers just over 100 miles away. I mean, they burned that bridge. And of course, San Diego would seem like the most likely place that the Chargers could end up back at. But unfortunately, right now, with the stadium issues and the public funding, plus San Diego State University getting to the rights to the land, that's not going to happen. But the Chargers would make sense as far as viability, a team that would need the boost, and the NFL is about to make a lot of money off of the London team, whoever that team may be. But David, even in this report, there was no one that said that the Chargers are the most likely team to move to London. It's just saying that the NFL is having talks about it, which for the Chargers, that is a slap in the face. It is a slap in the face to see your bosses telling you, hey, you tried to do this and it didn't work. We might just force you to move, force the relocation to London instead of Los Angeles. Either way, David, this is not a good look for the Chargers because obviously the NFL is not happy with what they've been able to do in Los Angeles. And even though there's other teams like the Jacksonville Jaguars who could potentially make sense moving to London, I mean, they've played the most games there. The Chargers aren't the most likely team, but they're still an option, which is super embarrassing for the Chargers franchise.
Well, not only is it embarrassing for the Chargers franchise, it's got to be embarrassing for the NFL when they put something out there like this. They're basically saying, hey, we admit that we are wrong and that the Chargers are failing miserably in Los Angeles, and we have to try to throw them a life preserver to get them out of this market and get them somewhere else. I think that's a huge mistake that the NFL is probably not going to want to admit to. But also, I think it's very curious, and also I think it should be pointed out that this story came out, you know, from, you know, not a Chargers beat writer, but the Athletics beat writer Vincent Bonsignor of the Rams. And I mean, I think, you know, the Rams, if they had it their way, they would much rather be in their building by themselves and not have a tenant at all.
Yeah, of course they would. I mean, Stan Kroenke's footing the bill for that entire, what, $6 billion stadium? You think he wants to share that, or do you think he wants that giant stadium to always have a giant Rams head on the outside of it without ever changing into a lightning bolt? So I think it's unsure whether the Rams had anything to do with this story getting out, but Vincent Bonsignor, a beat writer for the Rams, releasing this story instead of Daniel Popper from The Athletic, who covers the Chargers, I think says something. And even if the Kroenkes didn't directly put this out, you know they're not mad to see it out there. But the Chargers have so much on their plate right now trying to turn their season around. It's hard to believe with all of this talk and all of this nonsense about relocating again that it's not distracting the team in some way. So we do still have two more segments to get into with David talking with my boy Q from the Locked On Raiders podcast about this weekend's game and about these two teams. But first, as always, I need to tell you guys about our favorite car dealership over at Metro Infinity, which is right off the 210 in Monrovia. You have to check out their brand new multi-million dollar facility, which is loaded with a bunch of new and used cars. They are the number one volume dealer in California, and they're also the only family-owned dealer in California. And one of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity is that if you don't like going into the dealership, it's no problem at all. They will bring the new car and the paperwork to your home or office and complete the whole transaction there. Make sure to mention that the Locked On Chargers podcast sent you. They will give you an extra $500 off of any car purchase. They take pride in not being your typical car dealer where it takes hours to buy a new car. They don't want to play games with you guys. They want their customers to have a luxury car buying experience. Trust me, guys, these guys get it. If you're thinking about a new Infiniti or any new car, make sure you hit them up at 626-599-7510 or at metroinfiniti.com. You guys need to let them earn your business. Give them a chance. I promise you won't regret it, and you can save an extra $500 by telling them Locked On Chargers sent you over there.
Welcome into the Locked On Raiders podcast. Welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. This is the crossover edition, and this is a special crossover edition. This is something that I don't think has ever been done in the history of Locked On podcast. Now, I'm just going out on a limb and saying that. I don't know that for a fact, but today I'm talking with the host of Locked On Chargers, David Drogemeyer, right?
That's right, man.
See,
you got it.
I got to get it right. And he comes through crystal clear like that because, well, we're in the same studio, and I don't know. I could be wrong. I got to check in with the powers that be. I don't know if we've, if not we, because I know we haven't, but if any of the other hosts have actually been in the same studio together to do a show.
No, I don't think so, man. But whenever we found out last year, whenever we jumped on with this Locked On Podcast Network, that you were in Waco and I live in Temple here, just about 30, 40 miles that separate us, I was like, hey, why don't we just take this opportunity to jump in studio together, get this thing knocked out, And I thought it was just going to be really fun.
Yeah, no, it really is, man. This is something that we're going to have to do more often, and I'm excited about this. And yeah, it was crazy last year when we realized how close we actually were to each other, and we're both covering West Coast teams. You know what I mean? We're both covering West Coast teams, but we're here in Texas, so.
Hey, I mean, life happens, man. That I mean, you can't control where you end up eventually. You
right.
Got bills to pay. I got out of the Army at Fort Hood and had to get a job, and that landed me in Temple. And hey, I'm from San Diego originally, and
yeah.
I love the Chargers, been covering them forever. So, I mean, it is what it is, man.
And shout out to Fort Hood. Love our troops. Love all the work that everyone's doing at Fort Hood. And spent some time over there over the summer. I spent some time over there just kind of checking out one of their programs that they had. And it was really, really cool. So what we're here for is Raiders talk, Chargers talk. David is here in his Chargers jacket. I mean, he's representing in a major way. He ain't playing around. He's feeling good about himself. And, you know, you mentioned being from San Diego. Obviously, the Chargers aren't playing in San Diego. They're going to be in L.A., but all the rumors started rolling out about the Chargers in London. I think that's silly. I think that's never going to happen. But what were your thoughts when you heard that?
I mean, just stunned. I was just stunned. I could not believe after the Chargers moved to Los Angeles a few years ago that the NFL would entertain even the idea of moving another franchise, especially when you just uprooted from San Diego to L.A. again overseas to London. We all know that the NFL wants to expand their market and they want to have a worldwide reach. And they've been testing games out in London. They played a couple. The fan support has been rampant.
Right,
I mean, there's a huge fan base over there. But I just don't know if they're in a place where they've got all the logistical things worked out in order to actually move an entire NFL franchise over there. And now today, they have reports that came out from the NFL that specifically said that there is no merit to these reports.
Yeah.
We have absolutely no interest in moving the Chargers to London. We are committed to them staying in Los Angeles and building their fan base there. So it was a crazy article to read.
Yeah.
Great report to use for our Google News initiative. looks like that it was definitely not a legit story.
Yeah, I don't think it was. I think if anything, maybe it was a little ammunition to try to get the Jacksonville Jaguars to go. You know, that's something that's been reported out there that it could just be one of those bait talks. And we'll see how it goes. Obviously, the Raiders know about relocations, even though they only are going to Vegas. But yeah, it's always tough, man. And the Chargers already went through it. The Raiders going through it. I just think London would be silly. I just don't think there's any reason to have a team always be there. I mean, would you want to be drafted by the London Chargers? I mean, I don't think I would. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well, it'd be a logistical nightmare, like I mentioned. And also for free agents, I mean,
right,
you're really going to have to convince me to have to move, uproot my whole family, move them overseas,
right,
and also have to worry about all the taxes and all that stuff. I just think it's way too much to worry about.
I do, too. It's one thing to move from L.A. from San Diego to L.A., but L.A. to London? I don't see that. So anyway, let's get into the game. That's what we're really here for, is talk about this big matchup that's going down on a short week. Thursday night, Packers coming off a big win over the Packers. The Chargers coming off a big win over the Packers. How was that? I mean, did you see that win coming?
Absolutely not. No, me and my other two co-hosts, Daniel and John, all three of us picked the Chargers to lose this one. We just thought that, you know, the Green Bay Packers were coming in, just playing some phenomenal football, 7-1 football team, flying high, really beating everybody up, playing balanced football. I mean, good, you know, you got a couple of guys on the defense that have 15 sacks between them. You got Aaron Rodgers, who's playing out of his mind. I mean, I think it was like 16 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions. We thought that the Chargers would have to play a flawless game to get a victory. And Q, guess what? They actually did. They went out there and they absolutely flatly dominated the Green Bay Packers in all three phases of football. You saw contributions from the offense, obviously defense, and even a block punt on special teams. We knew that was what it was going to take. And guess what? They did it.
What was the difference in the offensive game plan? Ken Wisenhunt was fired earlier in the week. He was going, you know, he's been fired multiple times from different teams. He's a really good, in my opinion, offensive coordinator, not a really great head coach, but he gets fired as offensive coordinator. What changed? What changed as far as how the Chargers attacked offensively?
Well, so one of the things that absolutely had to change was the running game. The Chargers, the past four games before, you know, he got fired, they averaged only about 40 yards rushing per game.
Yeah.
And it was just god-awful. So they had to figure out a way to get more balanced on offense. I mean, whenever you're throwing the ball off your play, it's very predictable. It's easy easy to combat that. But, you know, the first mandate was, hey, we need to get the running game back going. And they did. But also, I think they just simplified the game plan. And they also, you know, got the up-tempo. The Chargers offense, they do their best when they're up-tempo. They're going no huddle. They're moving the ball down the field. That's when they were at their best. Even when Ken Whisenhunt was the offensive coordinator, Shane Steichen, the new offensive coordinator, just simplified the game plan and allowed these guys to go out there and play fast, and it worked.
Melvin Gordon, he was a guy that held out for a long time trying to get that new contract, came back, still didn't get the new contract. Has he gotten really his sea legs under him? Has he gotten into the rhythm of the NFL season now?
I mean, he finally looked like Melvin Gordon in this past game. He went for 20 carries for 80 yards and got in the end zone twice. That's a 4 yard per carry average. So he finally looked like himself. These past three or four games beforehand, he kind of looked like he was running in mud. I think a lot of that had to do with him missing time. He even said himself, he said, hey, I know I held out. You know, that's on me, but rest assured, I am never missing training camp again. So, you know, it definitely had an effect on him. It took him a while just to get his legs under him, get his conditioning, get hit again, and then he felt comfortable. You know, then you go out there and, you know, he hurdles a guy for a 16-yard run, and you're like, okay, that's the Melvin Gordon that we were expecting to see. He's finally turning into himself, and hopefully he can use that momentum going forward.
No doubt about that. Is there any talk, is there any kind of – not conclusion, but any resolution to Derwin James? You know, he's been on IR, I believe, and he's missed some time. That's bad because he's a really good player. But is he any closer to returning for the Chargers?
So with the initial diagnosis for Derwin James, what happened was is he had a screw in his foot that was put in back in college. And unfortunately, in training camp, it was a joint practice against the Rams, I believe, that screw actually bent. And so when that screw bent, after celebrating an interception, by the way, they found out that they had to get that screw removed, and it was going to be a 3 to 4 month timeline. Now, we're coming up on that 3 to 4 month timeline here. Now, there hasn't been any like initial information, but it seems like all reports that we've read and that we saw seems like he'll probably be back in December, but with the caveat that the Chargers have to be in contention for him to come back. And I agree with that. I don't think there's any reason to rush him back unless, you know, the Chargers are in the hunt. Obviously, we know all of us know what kind of player Derwin James is.
Yeah.
He is an all-pro. He is an absolutely jack-of-all-trades player, and the Chargers have desperately missed him in that defense. But if the Chargers aren't ready to go and if they're not in the hunt, I think they'll probably sideline him for the year.
What has been the biggest issue with the Chargers? Why they haven't been able to win more games? Because, again, they're always a team that you say, man, you got all this talent. You got Phillip Rivers. His defense is stellar. You got Melvin Ingram. You got Joey Bosa. These guys can go, and they're going to be a contender in the AFC West. And then all of a sudden they stink it up, and then they start winning now. I mean, they won in that big game with the Packers. Obviously, they probably kind of gives them a little bit of extra energy. But what has been the biggest issue of the Chargers so far this season?
Well, I mean, flatly, it's their performance in one-score games, Q. I mean, you can't win football games, obviously, in the NFL if you can't close them out. And the Chargers have had a couple of opportunities with the lead, you know, in the fourth quarter to win games, and they just cough it up. A term we like to use on the show, unfortunately, is the Chargers chargered themselves out of another win.
Right.
And unfortunately, you know, last year they did very, very well in one-score games, and that was a big reason why they ended up 12-4. But, you know, in previous years before that, they struggled, and they struggled a lot, and it seemed like in the beginning part of this year, they were back to those, you know, struggling in one-score game ways. Now, the last couple of games, they caught a break against the Bears. I mean, there's no other way to say it. The Bears kicker missed a 41-yard field goal. That's
Charger fans know all about that.
Oh, yeah, we definitely do. And we were like, man, we got a break? Oh, my goodness. It can't be possible. It's not real, but it is. And, you know, and sometimes that's what it takes to switch, you know, move the momentum in your season. You know, they caught a break against the Bears. They put together a full game plan against the Green Bay Packers, and hopefully they can carry over that momentum to Thursday against the Raiders.
Well, and that's it. I mean, that's what it's all about, is winning game after game after game. I mean, it's a consecutive thing. You need to do that. That's how you become a really good team. So you feel like the trajectory is headed in the right direction. What do you feel like is the biggest strength right now of this Chargers team?
So the biggest strength of this Chargers team is definitely the defense. I mean, even without Derwin James, they're only allowing a little over 205 passing yards per game. The running defense has been pretty bad, although in the last couple of games, they've actually improved mightily. And I think part of that has been Sylvester Williams they brought in. You know, he was a free agent, former first-round pick from the Broncos.
Yeah.
Has really helped just anchor. You know, he's not giving you any sexy stats, but, you know, he's just plugging a hole in the middle and allowing Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram to eat on the outside. I mean, that's really been the difference on the defensive side. And like I said, they shut down the pass. I mean, that's definitely their calling card. And, you know, recently Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram have been wreaking havoc. Joey Bosa, I think, has about 8 sacks on the year. Melvin Ingram, you know, he was injured, but the last 2 games he's been back. And, you know, whenever you got those 2 guys on the same side, Q, it's just absolutely a nightmare. It's just, who do I block? I mean, you got Joey Bosa. Obviously, you know, he's a maniac. But the thing that's great about Joey is he's just as good as he is as a pass rusher. He's just as good as a run stuffer, too. And that just kind of, you know, speaks to the volume of what type of player he actually is. He's a complete player. But, hey, it's been getting pressure and covering really well on the backside and not letting the runs murder you. That's been the game plan.
Well, you know the Raiders' bread and butter is running the rock.
No question
about it. Josh Jacobs, the rookie running back, has been doing killer things every single week. So how concerned are you with that run defense that you said was kind of not playing up to par, knowing that a team that's very, very run heavy is the next team up on the schedule?
Well, I mean, it's obviously a very big concern. Josh Jacobs has had a great rookie year, and I mean, he's actually setting all kinds of records as far as I know.
Yeah,
obviously it's a huge concern, but it brings a lot of balance to that Raiders offense that, you know, they kind of been looking for. It's not all on Derek Carr's shoulders. But yeah, it's a huge concern, obviously. I mean, that's the biggest weapon. And there's a couple other questions I'll ask you when I get into my segment about a former Charger who is now playing for the Raiders now in Tyrell Williams. But, you know, to go back to your question, obviously we're very, very concerned that the running game can wreck this game, and that's something the Chargers cannot allow.
And how has been the defense? I know you said that's been the bread and butter of the team, that's really the strength of the team. How have they been when it comes to covering the tight ends? Because Darren Waller has been a guy that's been a breakout player for the Raiders this year. As of late, teams have been they've been figuring out how to cover him and make other guys beat them, which, to the Raiders' credit, they've been able to scheme it up and make it work. But how has the tight end coverage been for the Chargers?
It's been really good, actually, because they have one of the best slot corners in the NFL, and that's Desmond King.
Good point.
You know, former fifth-round pick one of his calling cards is, you know, covering the tight ends and also tackling. He's a former wrestler, and it definitely shows. He's one of the most sure tacklers on the team. I would expect Desmond King and probably Jalen Watkins, the strong safety, to be covering Darren Waller, who was rewarded with a new contract by the Raiders because of his good play. I expect those two guys to be shadowing him for most of the game.
Well, that's going to be very interesting, a very interesting matchup again. I mean, I know how the Raiders, they butter their bread, man, the run game and passing to the tight ends, passing to, you know, get the ball out of Derek Carr's hands so they don't get those big Bosas and Ingrams and cats like that to get on Derek Carr's backside. So it's going to be very, very interesting. Well, that's what I got for you. We could flip things over and let you go ahead and talk about the Raiders or ask any questions you got. We could do that on the flip side here on the Locked On Raiders podcast, Locked On Chargers podcast, crossover edition here on this Crossover Wednesday.
All right, we are back here on Crossover Wednesday. I'm here with your boy Q of Locked On Raiders, and we are in studio again, just to remind you.
This is really awesome.
Really, really cool that we get to do this. Like I said, I just had to jump out the opportunity, but let's jump right into things here. The Raiders had an astounding, and I mean astounding, 9 picks in the 2019 draft. You know, just so first of all, you know, we're in the first half of this season. How has those draft picks looked, you know, in their first, you know, half of NFL play?
Well, you know, it's funny that you asked that question, because I just did a show the other day where I was talking about the foundational pieces of the Raiders, and that's what this draft was all about, was finding guys that you can help build this team on. Instead of having a team built on quicksand, it's trying to be built on concrete. Now, their first pick, Clelin Ferrell, number 4 overall, there's still a jury still out on him. He hasn't done anything major statistically, and so a lot of fans are thinking he's a bust already, but 8 games in, I wouldn't say that. You know, you just kind of got to take it as it comes and see what his role ends up becoming. Josh Jacobs, we talked about him in an earlier segment. I mean, dude, dude's a stud. So he's been an A plus. You know, he's been everything expected. Beast. Yeah, man. I love what Josh Jacobs brings to the table. He's great. Jonathan Abram, you know, he was the other first round pick, three first round picks in the draft.
Crazy.
He was the other one. He had a lot of swagger to him. He even had a lot of Derwin James kind of alpha dog mentality to him. He unfortunately goes down after one game, first game of the season against the Broncos. He's out all season till 2020. Terrible. Yeah, so the jury's still out. You know, jury's still out on him. A lot of people say that's the safety of the future. He's the guy, but you don't know. You just don't know yet because it's only one game he's played. But starting in the second round, man, Trayvon Mullen, you know, Gerrion Conley just got traded a couple weeks ago. I mean, what a slap in the face, right? We're going to trade you. Not only are we going to trade you, we're going to trade you to the team we play next. You know what I mean? Like, that's a slap in the face. That lets you know that we really don't like you that much. But Trayvon Mullen has come in and really kind of filled that void. He's really been that dude already. It's only been a couple games he's been starting, but I think he's promising. He's got some good attributes coming from Clemson. He's you know, been there, done that. I think he's going to be a real deal player. So that's one to look at and get excited about. Another one to get excited about is Hunter Renfrow. He was a fifth-round pick out of Clemson as well. He's starting to come into his own.
Clemson boys.
Yeah, man. And look, the Raiders have a bunch of them. You know, got three of them in the draft. So they got Cleve Farrell, Mullen, and Hunter Renfrow, all those guys from Clemson. But Renfro's had two touchdowns now, back-to-back weeks. You know, he's starting to come into his own. I was at that game in Houston, and I talked to him after the game, and he was real like, we lost this game, but I feel good about the direction we're going, and we're going to build off this. And he was very – like, he was wise beyond his years. You know what I mean? It felt like he had been in the league 4 or 5 years. He was just a, you know, seven-game starter or seven-game guy, you know. And it's just – it was pretty amazing. But he's really something to grow on. And he's a guy that I think is going to do some big things for the Raiders. Max Crosby is a fourth-round pick out of Eastern Michigan. He's looking pretty good. He only has a couple sacks on the season. But that guy's motor just goes and goes and goes. And Gruden the other day said, you know, he has the same kind of motor. Not saying he's the same guy, but he has the same kind of motor as J.J. Watt. And that's a hell of a compliment right there. Again, he's got to put in the work to become a J.J. Watt guy. Oh, but yeah. To have that motor, that's a good starting point. So he's doing some big things. He's looking pretty good. Isaiah Johnson, he's a rookie out of Houston that hasn't played at all this season. He should be back on Thursday for the game against the Chargers. Gruden's been hyping this dude up. I mean, I don't know who he's going to be. I don't know if he's going to be good. I don't know if he's going to be stellar. I don't know. But Gruden's been hyping this dude up like he's the next coming to Deion or something. You know, he's saying he's like them long-range. He almost describes like a Seattle Seahawk type, you know, defensive back, like those Richard Shermans and cats like that when the Legion of Boom were killing. So I don't know. We'll see what we got with Isaiah Johnson. But from what Gruden is saying, he should be a pretty good stud and a big-time player. So right now, man, the draft picks, for the most part, I think Mike Mayock did a heck of a job in his first draft. You really don't know about these guys long-term until, you know, you see them for a couple years. But, again, the jury right now, for the most part, I would say that at least Mike Mayock has at least a B plus in the draft, his very first draft that he ever had as a GM. So I'm pretty excited about the direction that the team is going.
Yeah, no, I would expect so. I mean, 4-4 at this point in the season.
Right.
Definitely a big improvement over last year.
Yep.
But the Raiders also brought in a former Charger in Tyrell Williams. You know, I think when you brought him in, he was supposed to be the number two to Antonio Brown, but obviously that quickly pivoted.
Yeah,
to
that didn't shake
him
out right.
Being
right?
The number one. So, how has kind of Tyrell Williams acclimated himself to being the Raider, and how has he actually performed this so far this season?
You know, he's been pretty good. You know, he had the first five games that he played with the Raiders, he had touchdowns in. You know, and he missed a couple games because he had a foot injury. I think it was plantar fasciitis he was dealing with, so he missed a couple games. The one in London he missed, and then the following week or the next game, oh, Green Bay, he missed that game as well. Houston, he had an opportunity, man, to make a couple plays down the stretch, and if he could have made those, maybe the Raiders win that game. Who knows? In the locker room afterwards, he said, hey, I got to make that play. I will make that play. But for the most part, man, I think Tyrell Williams has been good. I think he's been as advertised. He's not a number one. I've said it many times on the show. He's not a number one, but he's like a really good number two, you know? And right now the Raiders are winning with guys that are like just cast-offs. Cast with Zay Jones, Trevor Davis.
Who?
Exactly. I mean, you know what I mean? Tyrell Williams. I mean, Darren Waller. I mean, think about these guys. Hunter Renfrows. I mean, they're winning with guys that you really don't know what they're going to bring. Foster Moreau, you know, at LSU, he was a heck of a player. That's another rookie I'm excited about. Foster Moreau, he was a heck of a player, but he didn't really catch the ball a lot because, well, at LSU, their offense stunk. This year, the offense is great. Before, it stunk. So, yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's kind of a fun throwback-style Raider team where, hey, that team don't want you, no problem. Bring you on over here, and we'll win games with you. And that's what they're doing.
Sounds good. Making the most of their opportunities.
Yeah. So
the Raiders come into this matchup 4-4 after a good win over the Detroit Lions. How are Raider fans feeling about this game against the Chargers on a short week?
Well, that's the thing, man. It's on a short week against the Chargers. Obviously, it's a hated rival, division rival. Phillip Rivers is going to talk so much trash and noise. Last time he plays in the Coliseum, so I'm sure he's going to want to, you know, leave the Coliseum with a little stank on it, you know.
No question.
And yeah, he's going to want to go out there as a winner, and the Raiders are going to definitely want to beat the brakes off him and make sure that he leaves the Coliseum with a lasting memory that he doesn't like. So, yeah, they're excited about this game. I'll say that I'm a little less excited because it's a short week. You know what I mean? Like, and that's for both teams. That's not just for the Raiders. That's for both teams. Those are two hard-fought games that were played on Sunday. Now, all of a sudden, you got to turn back around and play on Thursday. And it's like, there's a lot of bumps and bruises. You're already into week 10 of the regular season. I mean, there's so many things that are playing against both teams in this game. So, for the most part, though, fans are excited, pumped up. It's another game at the Coliseum. You know, they were gone for so long. 6 weeks they were away from the Coliseum. So the fans there, I think, are going to give that extra energy just like they did on Sunday. That was a big key to the game, is how pumped up those fans were and how fired up they were to have their team back in their home stadium. I think that's how it's going to be on Thursday as well.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Of course, we're looking forward to it for sure. The Raiders offensive line, unbelievably, actually is better this year. And what do you think is the reason for that?
Well, Tom Cable's a guy I drilled. I drilled him so bad during the regular or the offseason because they were so bad last year. 52 sacks they gave up, and they just were awful. They brought in Trent Brown, big free agent, made him the right tackle, gave him a ton of money, gave him left tackle money. But
a lot of money.
I mean, hey, you give him that money when you got guys like Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram trying to get on your quarterback. You know what I mean? Like,
that's
what you do, you know? And so they did that. He's been a mammoth dude. He's a little banged up right now. He's got a knee injury, but he left the game on Sunday, and David Sharp came in and filled in for him. And this is the thing, man. The Raiders' offensive line has only been their starters for 10 snaps this whole season.
Wow.
I mean, think about that.
Unbelievable.
From left tackle all the way to right tackle, only 10 snaps, it's been all the starters. You know, Rodney Hudson got an ankle injury. Trent Brown had a knee injury, and so David Sharp filled in for the right tackle. Andre James, an undrafted free agent out of UCLA who was a tackle at college, he's in the center position. You know, Gabe Jackson just got back from injury. Richie Incognito is there from suspension. He was suspended the first two games. And then Colton Miller, he's been there all season long. Like, hey, I got this left tackle position held down. Ain't nobody talking about Colton Miller. He's been the steady. He's been the one guy that's been there all season long. But the offensive line has been killing it. They've been playing great. So Tom Cable, he's a heck of a job. Again, a guy that I thought was going to get fired because he was going to blow it again this season. But he's been A1. That offensive line has been really the strength of the team, keeping Derek Carr upright and making huge holes for Josh Jacobs to run through.
Definitely. The runs. Now let's switch over to the defensive side. The Raiders' run defense has been great. But
yes,
the pass defense has been a huge liability.
Huge.
They're ranking towards the bottom of the league in most of those statistical categories. Why do you think teams are having so much success through the air?
Well, I mean, you can't get pressure on the quarterback. You know, you don't get enough pressure on the quarterback. I know they have 15 sacks on the season, which is more than they had all last season, but it's still not enough. It's still not enough for guys like Phillip Rivers coming to town, Patrick Mahomes coming to town, Aaron Rodgers, you know, Kirk Cousins. If you can't get pressure on those kind of guys, they're going to pick you apart. Phillip Rivers will do the same thing. Matt Stafford just picked the Raiders apart, went for 400-something yards. You know, I mean, it was easy. It was easy. I mean, the guys were running free in the secondary, and it was, you know, no problem. Daryl Worley, in my opinion, is a liability as a defensive back. I think that the Raiders realize that, and they're trying to find a guy to take his spot. And I think maybe if Isaiah Johnson, this rookie out of Houston, could come in and be somebody, maybe Worley loses his spot. Trayvon Mullen's been playing well, number 27. He's been playing well through the first two games. I think he's a guy that's going to challenge to be like the number one defensive back, but they need to get a book in. They need to get someone else that could be that guy. LaMarcus Joyner was brought in as a free agent to be a guy that covers the tight end, really be that slot corner, and he hasn't lived up to the billing yet. He's been a disappointment. The secondary is just a question. You know, it's a question. And so right now, you don't have to run or try to run against the Raiders. Like the Lions, they got 90 yards rushing, but they probably didn't even have to do that, you know, because the pass defense was so bad. So the Raiders have to find a way to get some pressure. Phillip Rivers has been in the league way too long. He'll pick you apart. He knows what he's doing. And, oh, by the way, you got some wide receivers that can catch the rock, too.
Hey, they surely do. So this is the last time the Chargers and Raiders will clash in Oakland.
Yes.
What do you think will ultimately decide this contest in the black hole?
What you just said, that the fact that this will be the last time that the Raiders and Chargers match up in the Oakland Coliseum, playing in the black hole in front of those fans, those passionate, the best fans in sports. I don't care who wants to argue with me. It's all good. That fan base is the best fan base, and I think that they're going to be out there representing in a major way and really, really kind of put the vice grip on the Chargers and everyone else that's in there, man. It's just they're just a different breed, and so I think that just the energy that the crowd brings is going to be worth. I said last week that it's going to be worth 7 points against the Lions. It might not be worth 7 against the Chargers, but I'll say it's worth at least 3, and I think that that's how the Raiders pull off a victory and improve to 5-4 on the season is with the 3 points that crowd's going to feed them.
Okay, we'll see. It's definitely going to be a very...
What are you thinking? What are you thinking for the game?
Okay, you're going to make me put my money from where my mouth is?
All right. I ain't going to take your money from you today, but...
Well, so I think the Chargers, they really have put together the type of team and the type of performance that we thought that they could do against the Packers. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, even Philip Rivers said in his press conference that he's happy and excited that they're playing on Thursday because they can take that momentum that they used against the Packers and just push it right into Thursday against the Raiders.
That's true.
They're going to need it. The Raiders are not... You know, your grandfather's Raiders, okay? These are this is a much improved team, and the Chargers can't come in here and take this team lightly at all. But, like I said, I think the Chargers are going to use that momentum. I think they are going to win this game, though. I think it'll be close. It's going to be a physical matchup. It always is between two of the original franchises. I think it's going to be a relatively low-scoring game. I think it's going to be a 24-17 Chargers win.
Okay, 24-17. You say Chargers win that. I say the Raiders win by 3, so I'm going to go ahead. If you say Chargers are going to have 24, I'm going to say 27-24 Raiders. I don't know how they're going to find a way to get that extra field goal, but somehow they're going to get Daniel Carlson in field goal range and get it. And again, it's going to be on the strength of the crowd, giving them that extra juice and that extra love.
No matter what, they're going to put on a show for the entire United States on Thursday Night Football. But hey, Q, where can everybody find your social media stuff?
At your boy Q254. You can find me on Twitter all the time. That's what I do. Hit me up at your boy Q254. And I'm always on ESPN Central Texas Monday through Friday, noon to 3. Unnecessary Roughness is the show that I'm a co-host in Central Texas. And where can they find all your information from?
Of course, you can follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC. Check out all of our shows. Of course, we always do these crossovers. We're going to get together with your boy Q again later on this year when the Chargers play the Raiders in L.A. But, hey, love doing this. Can't wait to do it again.
No, we are. We're going to have to make it happen again here in studio. Again, it'll be, like I said, it's a history for the Locked On Network, I think. And if not, I'm going to claim it is anyway. How about that? So that sounds good. We made history, even if we didn't make history. Who cares?
No question about it.